Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Thanks for having me. It's always good to be with family. I want to be real quick and brief tonight. I know everybody wants to get home for the Oscars. So I know you probably, everybody's watching it on their phones. I was back there like, who's wearing what? You know, I had an opportunity to help Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, to help them pick out his outfit tonight. They're like, tweet what I should wear. So I'm like, you need to put that on right there because that other stuff is not looking good. Anyway, we're going to get back into the book of Luke. We've jumped off road last week. Pastor Jim LaFoon came in and brought a great word, a great message. It was awesome, over the top. And we're going to get back with Luke. So let me just frame Luke a little bit. Luke is like you and I. Luke is a physician, a doctor, if you will, normal, just a normal man, but had an encounter with Jesus. And when you have an encounter with Jesus, something supernatural takes place in your life. All of a sudden, you realize who you are and who you're called to be. So you can still have your profession, but God wants to take your profession and use you to go do great things with it. And so here Luke is. Luke's a detailed man. Any doctors in the house? You know, you'd be prescriptions and, you know, you're all into it, man. You want to know the details of everything. So he wasn't trying to hear a story passed down. Luke went to the horse's mouth, if you will, and talked to the mother of Jesus, Mary. And he got all the details from Mary. That's why when you read the book of Luke, it starts out with Elizabeth. It starts out with Zechariah. It starts out with the birth of John the Baptist. Things that only Mary would have known. And so this evening, we're going to talk about the prodigal son. Maybe you've heard this story before, about the son that gets his inheritance, runs off and squanders it. And there's a lot of nuggets of truth in here, because we are just like this prodigal son at times when it comes to God the Father. And so turn to your Bible in Luke 15. I'm going to read just a little bit, and then I'm going to tell the story within the story. It says here in Luke 15, starting in verse 11, it says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Say squandered. Squandered means he's broke. That brother ain't got no more money. He got lint in his pocket. And so he's in trouble. It says this, it says that as he was out there, after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Verse 16, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and I'm here starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he said this, his son ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against you, heaven, and against you and God. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the robe, bring a ring, and bring sandals. Kill the fatted calf, and let's celebrate. Father, in these brief moments, be with us in Jesus' name. The father, representing God the Father. The younger son, representing us. And the older son, representing the Pharisees. See, in Jewish culture, if a child wanted their inheritance before it was time, the only way they could get it was if the father died. So basically what this young man is saying is this, Father, just die so I can have what I want and go live how I want to live. And sometimes that's how we are with God. God, would you get out of my life? Give me what I need so I can go live the way I want to live. And you know, the thing about God is this. See, God is merciful. God is kind. God is loving. He's a good father. But you know what? He also lets you have at it. He'll let you have at it. He'll say, okay, if you don't want me, you want the blessing, but not the blesser. Then you go ahead and live the way you want to live. And so in Jewish culture, the older son would have got a double portion. The younger one would have got a third of that. And he said he gathered all that he had and got out. And he said he went to a far land. That means that he went outside of the borders of where he belonged. And sometimes, saints, what will happen with you and I, the further we get away from God, we'll have somebody right there telling us you're doing the right thing. Every step you take away from God, you'll have a man or a woman telling you you're doing the right thing. But you and I both know that that's not the will of God. God wants us near. God wants us close. Says that he got out there and he began the wild living, partying, got crazy, spent all his money. My background is in a professional background where guys made a lot of money. And we ran not with just NFL guys, but with also NBA guys. And some of these guys were making hundreds of millions of dollars. And I had an acquaintance that blew through $100 million. Now, how do you do that? And he began to explain to me. He says, you know, think about this. When you have 40 people with you at all times, an entourage, and everywhere you go, they have to eat, they have to sleep, they have to drink. We didn't have Uber back then, so it wasn't like you could call somebody. Everybody had to have a car. He said, by the time I was done playing, my shoulders out, my knees out, and I looked up and I had no more money left. And see, when you're out there in the world, the enemy doesn't play fair. He'll tell you that it's okay to live this way, but he never tells you the end of the story. And the end of the story is never good. My first point I want to make with you tonight is this, is to be patient. Be patient. See, you have to wait because God says that he is faithful. When you're faithful with the little, he'll trust you with much. Proverbs 21:2 says this, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. It may seem right how we're living. It may seem right if we go away. It may seem right if you push God, but God knows the heart. God knows what you're going to do with that thing that you really want. So let me ask you a question tonight. So I know some of you are praying a prayer of faith. God, just give me this thing. But the question I have for you tonight is God gave you that thing that you really, really want, that thing that you desire. The question is, can you handle it? Can you handle the true blessing of the Lord? Because the blessing of the Lord, it takes discipline. You have to understand you have to be faithful with the littlest thing so that when you get to the top of the mountain, you're appreciative of what you've been given. And just like we were singing, when you get to the top, it's not about you, it's about God. He gets all the praise and he gets all the glory and he gets all the honor. But this man, he took what was his and he said, you know, it's about me. And sometimes when it's about you, it can go bad real quick. The scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 13:8-9. It says, stop deceiving yourselves. You know, I can talk myself into some crazy stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going here tonight. I'm going to do this tonight. I'm talking to myself. But I can also deceive myself into thinking that I'm doing right when I know I'm doing wrong. It says, if you think you are wise by the world's standards, you need to become a fool to truly become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. See, the world says, hurry up, get it now, cut the line, do what you got to do to get to the top. That's the world's way. But when you do it God's way, he always promotes, he always blesses, and not only this, but he sustains. See, when you get to the top and God gave it to you, nobody can take it from you. But you have to be patient. See, we live in a right now world. You yell at the microwave, hurry up, food. You yell at the Uber driver, hurry up and take me to where I need to go. You're yelling, hurry, 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 hurry. But you never stop to smell the roses. You never stop to enjoy the journey. You never stop to understand that there's a process that God is having in you and I. Because some things that he's got to uproot and take out. But the young man didn't understand that. He wanted his money now. And he wanted the party now. It said that he squandered his living. He squandered it so bad that he ended up working for a pagan man. He went from being a prince to now working for a pagan. And it got worse, because not only did it get down to the pagan, but now he's working with pigs. And if you understand about the Jewish culture, is that anything that they called unclean was unclean, and the pig was unclean. I'd have been real bad right there, because I like me some hog now. I'm sorry. I ate bacon with everything. He said not only was he feeding the pigs, but now he's eating the pig's food. So not only he's being defiled on the outside, but now he's been defiled on the inside. And when the enemy gets on the inside, you got some problems. Because whatever's got your heart has you. And so now he's at the bottom. Now he's laying in the pen with the pigs. It says that he's hungry. A famine is broken out. There's nothing he can do. He has no money. He's just lying there in the pig's pen. And I'm here to tell you that he's laying there. And there's three words that should never connect. Because when these three words connect, you got a problem. It's where, it's how, and it's who. Where am I? Anybody ever been somewhere and you don't even know where you are? You've gotten so lost that you don't even know. You're looking, where am I? The next question, how? How did I get here? Has anybody ever asked, how did I get here? What was I doing to get here? And then the last one is, who are you? Yeah, I'm going to preach tonight, because have you ever been laying somewhere and look to the left or to the right and you ask yourself, who are you? He's laying with pigs. How did he get there? It was by choice. It's because he wanted that thing right now. And I'm here to tell you, saints, you have to be patient. But here's the merciful, gracious love of God. It says that it's the mercy and his kindness that draws you to repentance. It says that he's laying there, and all of a sudden, he comes to his senses. And there's a moment in your life where all the prayers of aunts, uncles, cousins, pastors, relatives, friends are going to hit you like a ton of bricks, and there's going to be clarity. You're going to come to your mind and you're going to say, what in the world am I doing? I'm better than that. I'm better than this. I remember there was a time in my life, and I'm pastoring and I'm the man, and all hell breaks loose while I'm on the top of my game. And I remember my situation was not private. My situation was public. And everybody got to watch what was going to happen to the man of God. And see, people want to see, will you praise the Lord in the pig pen? Will you praise God when you're in the darkest and the worst part of your life? And I remember it got so bad, Pastor Nathan, that I crawled under my bed and I said, I don't want to talk to my kids. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm just going to stay under, not on top, under my bed. You know it's bad when you're sleeping in the under the bed. And, I'm sitting there and people are calling, my phone's blowing up. Where are you at, man? You got to come back. You got to come back. I'm not coming back. I'm good where I am. And I remember somebody coming and knocking on the door. You got to come back, man. You're the pastor. It's your church. And I remember doing exactly what he said. And this is my second point, is you got to get up and you got to go back. See, the devil will beat you down with guilt. He'll beat you down with condemnation. He'll beat you down with shame. He will tell you that you're less than. He'll tell you to go home and quit. But I'm telling you, something inside of you has to get up and go back. Because if you don't get up and go back, there's going to be some people that are going to miss out on the blessing of God in your life. And I remember I had to get up, oppression, depression, anxiety, fear. You know, if you went to college, you know what I'm talking about. It's called the walk of shame. And I remember I'm walking back to the situation. You know that walk of shame where you thought you should have got up before the sun got up. I didn't make it. Oh, no. Everybody's going to see me. Yeah, I had to walk back into this church. And everybody's watching. And I remember sitting in the parking lot crying, just weeping. And I'm sitting there just, God, please, you know my situation. I don't want to go back, but I have to because you're calling me to. And Lord, I just need the strength and the grace to walk through those doors. And I remember tearing up and just motions running. See, the enemy is a master painter. And what he'll do, he'll paint a picture. And he'll let you think that this is what it's going to be like when you go through those doors. This is what it's going to be like when you go back. It's going to be like this. Now that you've given your life to Jesus, now it's going to be just like this. They're going to mock you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to tell you you're nobody. This is how it's going to go down. And I remember walking through the church doors. And as soon as I got there, man, it was this embrace. People just grabbed me and said, "Welcome home." What that word is called repentance. And what you have to do is what he did. You have to get up and not just make a mental or a heart change. No, you got to make a physical change, turn and go back. And a lot of times you don't want to turn away from what feels good and comfortable. See, he felt good down there with those pigs. But you know what? It comes to a point where all the stuff around you, the sin, the ungodliness, the unrighteousness, it ain't worth it no more. I'm going home. And he began to walk. See, the Bible says in Acts 3:19 that when we repent, times of refreshing will come. Some of you need to be refreshed because of the weight of guilt and shame. Some of you need to be refreshed because of the pain of the past. Some of you need to be refreshed because of the longevity and what the enemy's put on you for this long season of time. You got to repent, turn away from, and begin to walk towards. And you know what? As he began to walk, it says that the Father saw him from a distance. See, the theologians were saying this, that the Father had been out there looking for his son, waiting for him to return. Not only that, the theologians were saying the Father had heard some things about the young man because there was a report coming that he was at a far land, a far distance, and he had squandered all his money. So one of the names of God is El Ra'i, which means the God that sees. See, God sees you where you are. He sees everything. It's like, you know what? He made the heavens and the earth. So it's not like you can hide from him. My thing is this, turn back to him and follow him. It says that the Father saw him, and there was rejoicing. See, the Bible says in Psalms 138:6, though the Lord is on high, he attends to the humble. When you humble yourself, it says that not only will God draw near to you as you draw near to him, it's important to stay humble, but the proud he knows from afar off. It's something about humbling yourself and saying, you know what? I'm wrong. You're right. See, when there's pride comes shame, pride comes destruction, but God gives grace to the humble. And that's what he did. He said, Lord, I've sinned against you. I sinned against my Father. The way I'm living is not right. I need to go back where I belong. Saints, tonight, I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know what your past holds, but I know this. We have to stop remembering what God has forgotten. See, God forgets the past, but it's the enemy that brings up the past. There's been times where I have to remind myself that that man is dead. He no longer lives. He's in the baptisms of water. He's in the watery grave. The old is gone and the new has come, so that the enemy doesn't beat me down about my past. One of my pastor friends called me, one of the co-founders of our movement. He said, hey, man, Shino, I want to go back to your alma mater and do this outreach. Would you be willing to call some of your friends? And I'm like, what? My friends? Because in my mind, they knew me when. They don't know me now. And so that fear of having to go back. And I remember picking up the phone and calling my old teammate. And I said, hey, man, we're thinking about coming up to do this thing on faith and science. And, you know, this guy's going to speak. And I said, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a pastor now. And he goes, you know what? That's what I heard. Good for you. That's what I heard. The enemy will have you thinking that people are mad at you because you chose to follow God. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there's more people cheering you on than you think. There's people hoping that what they're hearing about you is true. Man, I pray that that man, that woman that used to live a certain way is really serving the Lord, because if they are, it's going to be a miracle. If they are, it's going to bring joy to my heart, because I know that they've been going through some things. But if they're truly serving God, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. It says that the father saw him from afar off and he said, it's time to celebrate. He said, I'm going to give him three things when he comes. The first thing he said I'm going to give him is a robe. See, this robe represents honor. My son is back, and I'm going to give him honor that is due his name. He is no longer lost. He's found. Let's put this robe on. You know what? I'm going to give him a ring as well, because this ring is a signature of authority. See, when you come back from where you used to be, it don't have to wait. You don't have to wait in line. No, you take an easy pass and go from the back straight to the front, and God puts you back where you belong as a child of authority. And it said, man, he gave him some slides, man. Some nice sandals. And those sandals, they represent freedom. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so when you get what God has for you, you're free. You don't have to live in the past. You don't have to dwell in the past. And you say, oh, Pastor, how do you know? I'm going to say, let's look at the Bible. It says here in Psalms 103, 9 through 13, he will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. How many of y'all done some bad stuff? How many of y'all are golfers and you know you need a mulligan, a do-over? I need a do-over. See, the thing about God is this. It says as far as the east is to the west, he's forgot our sins. He doesn't think about it. And he just looks at you and he says, you know what? That's okay. You messed up. Don't do it again. Just repent and follow me. But you got to believe that for yourself. I can't believe that for you. See, when the enemy brings up my past, I say, no. I serve the God that holds my future. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, the old is gone and the new has come. And so as he's being restored, there's somebody watching. This is his older brother. And his older brother was a hater. You got haters out there that don't want to see you make it on your journey. And when I say a hater, the reason his brother was so indignant is because, man, I'm here working. I'm doing all these things and he gets a celebration and I don't. Are you kidding me? I'm working my tail off. I'm doing this, this, and this. The father's like, look here, son, it ain't about that. I love both of you the same way. But you know what the beauty of it is that he repented. He came back. He didn't stay in the way he was. You know what? He slipped. He messed up. But he's welcome right back into this home. And that's how God is with you and I. You're welcome back. And my prayer for you tonight is this. Is that you would dare to believe what I'm preaching you tonight. Because I know that the enemy doesn't play fair. That he'll bring up your past and hung it over your head and say, yeah, you really a man or woman of God. Yeah, well, what about this and what about that? Or what about last night? Or what about that thing you said or that thing you accidentally clicked on? What about that? You're supposed to be a man or woman of God. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God is merciful. God is kind. And he wants to sow a celebration for you. Come back. Stop being afraid to be the man or woman of God that he's created you to be. You know, when God called me to be a minister of the gospel, I was scared. I'm not going to lie. I didn't want to do this. Man, I got to live a certain way. I can't do this. I can't go there. I can't. And it wasn't about what I couldn't and can't do. It's what I got to do. It's what I get to do. I find myself in cities. I find myself in nations. I find myself sitting in offices here in New York City. I find myself sitting with producers. I find myself sitting with coaches. I find myself in places that I have no business being. But the only reason I'm being ushered into the presence of these people is because of the Father God that I serve. So if you want to be a city shaker and you want to be a nation taker, you serve the Most High God and you watch what he does. See, I've been to Africa, I've been to Asia, I've been to Latin America, I've been to these places and seen the signs and wonders. And so when I'm sitting down with people in New York, it takes a lot to really impress me because my God is so impressionable. He does great things. I love to sit down and watch God move in the hearts of men and women and watch them do the supernatural things. My prayer for you tonight is this: step into your destiny. Step into your destiny. Because God is calling you out tonight. Don't make no more excuses. I don't care if you're laying in the pig pen. Get out of the pig pen. Turn around and come back to God. Because he has something great for you. He wants to celebrate you and do some great things. You know, last week, or not last, it's Sunday, right? A couple days ago. I just got it last week. A friend of mine calls me. And I'm a single dad. I got 3 kids. I'm busy. Real busy. And he calls me, says, "Man, look, I got this friend that I want to start a Bible study with down on Wall Street." And I'm thinking, "Yeah, man, you know, give me some time. Oh, you know, God, whenever." He says, no, tomorrow. I'm like, "Man, I got my kids. I got school. I got, okay, I'll show up." Sitting in 2 hours of traffic. 2 hours. And I'm grumbling and complaining the whole way. The man of God. I got to pay some serious cash to park in that garage. I'm hot. I get there super early and I got to stand in the lobby because my name's not on the list to go upstairs for about an hour. I'm mad. And all of a sudden my friend shows up and we go up the elevator and we meet this guy in this room. And all of a sudden, he begins to share the gospel with this man. And I'm thinking to myself, I done spent bukus of money for nothing. He ain't, I mean, let's get out of here. He ends this talking with this man. And the dude looks and he says, "I want that. I want that. What? Let's pray right now. I'm giving my life to Jesus right now." In the marketplace, on the floor, overlooking this nice little river. I'm giving my life to Jesus right now. I'm looking at him like, "What? This is amazing." He said, "I'm through, man. Money, girls, I got it all. But you know what? I don't have what he has. Peace." Peace. And that's what we need tonight. That's what you need tonight. Peace. I can lay my head down tonight. If God was to rip open the sky tonight, I know where I'm going. But the question is, do you know? And just like I tell everybody this, sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him make you great. I said 2019 was going to be the greatest year of my life. And you know what? Man, it seemed like soon as the day one, it's been on. Soon as I crossed the Hudson and made this church family, the New York side, my church family, it's been on. I've seen so many great things happen. It's your night. It's your night. You got to be what God has created you to be, and you got to be it unashamedly. Unashamedly. If I can sit in the car for 2 hours, 3 kids, dropping them off, get here, to see a man get born again, there's nothing greater. And that's what this story is about. When a man or a woman gets born again, it says there's a party in heaven. Celebration. The old is gone and the new has come. Can we stand to our feet so I can pray for you tonight? There's miracle power in the room. And I'm not here to be some kind of hocus pocus, some kind of guy that waves a magic wand. But what I do know is this: God is drawn to faith. He's drawn to faith. And so tonight, if you say, Pastor, I need to repent of some things. There's some things that I need to turn away from, and I need to give it to God. I need to lay it down and trust that God has something better. I'm asking you tonight to do it. Surrender it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't hold on to it anymore. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for every man and every woman in this room tonight. Lord, I'm asking that, Lord, it wouldn't just be a heart thing or a mind thing, but it'd be a physical turning away from, a walking away from. That, Lord, you would cause men and women tonight to get up and go back. Go back to the cross. Go back to their first love, which is you, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, you've seen all the hurt. You've seen all the pain. And I thank you tonight, God, that you're the healer. You're the healer. And I'm asking that the balm of Gilead be broken over the men and women, and that you'd begin to go deep in mind, body, and soul. That whatever they've done in their past would be supernaturally removed. The hurt, the pain, the shame, the guilt, and the condemnation, it would be broken tonight in the name of Jesus. As they say, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned against you. And if you say that's me tonight, Pastor, I just want you to lift your hands where you are. Nobody looking around. This is between you and the Lord. You're saying, I'm repenting. I'm repenting of my ways. And tonight I'm choosing your way. Let the healing begin tonight. Some of you have been so tormented in your mind. The enemy's just constantly bringing confusion and worry. But tonight I say, give it to the Lord. Even to the point, man, where you're even thinking, God, I just want to end it all. Lord, I pray tonight that you would step in and stop it. From the physical side, God, I pray that you would come against the spirit of anorexia, bulimia, where the magazines and the people say that you have to look a certain way. No, tonight, the Lord says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Thank you, Lord, for your healing tonight. And Lord, I break the word curses that have been spoken over every man and every woman tonight, where the enemies lied or some used somebody to speak that word that you'll never amount to nothing, you'll never be nothing, or you'll be just like. Lord, let that word fall to the ground tonight and die. And let the true living word of God prevail. And so, sir, as we release this over to you tonight, I pray that as they enter into their destiny and their purpose with you, that it be the greatest ride of their life. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you care about your people. And that, Lord, let the celebration begin. Let the celebration begin, because the old is gone and the new has come, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Can you give God a hand clap of praise?
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.